Well, it'd be good if you'd pray for me.
I'd like to start with a verse in Hebrews, 9th chapter of Hebrews. In the 27th verse says that, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Been thinking quite a bit lately about the precious gift of life that the Lord's given me. And say I'm very thankful that I've had the opportunity to live. I don't know of anything that I could say was more precious than that. And I'm very blessed tonight. My life has been blessed. Oh, it's had troubles. And one scripture says that man that's born of woman is few days and full of trouble. Well, I know what the author was talking about, but I didn't say that my life has been blessed. I remember years ago, my first wife had a cousin who was born with a birth defect, and he never had the opportunity in his life to ever run, hardly walked. And I remember how he used to love to go to the family reunions and how he used to love to see me get up to bat when we'd play baseball, and he'd cheer us. I run the bases around, and I would think how blessed I was to have the opportunity to be able to do that in comparison to someone that never got to. And in my mind, I used to think of how blessed I was to be able to do that. I like to run. I still run some. And what it would have been like to have been in his situation and only dreamed of it. He only could think about that, and he never really did get to do it. Well, he got to experience other things in life, but folks, do you know that we're blessed? I know that we can be complainers if we ain't careful, but if you compare a lot of it, you'll find out, if you really looked at it, if you're here tonight, you're probably blessed in comparison to a lot of things. I lived in a time that I never had to face being called up to war as a young man. As a young man, I come out, I was born in 62, so as I grew up, the Vietnam War was still going on, and I used to lay awake at night sometimes wondering if maybe it would last long enough that my number would be called. I mean, we knew people that died there, and I used to always think that, well, it ended. I never in my lifetime had to face that. I never had to do that. It's been a peace in our country most of the time, all the time that I was that I grew up and never had to go through that. And I count myself blessed. I really do. I count myself blessed. I grew up in the mountains of West Virginia, most of you know, and there's biased, of course. There's no better place in the world to grow up than there. We were poor, but I didn't know anything about being poor because everybody around me pretty much was the same. It wasn't like that I longed for something that I didn't, because we were poor. But I look back and think about that, and I don't really think that I was poor because I had so much. To grow up where I grew up, to be able to swim in those clean rivers, to be able to climb up those mountains, to be able to experience the joy of nature that I was. You have to realize, we didn't have to go to a park. Okay? We didn't have to do anything but step out the back door. to be right in the middle of nature. I grew up with my backyard being thousands of acres of open land to romp on, to go on, to do that. I don't recommend it, but we used to cut the ends of cut the bottom of a grapevine off and get back up on the mountain and take off running and swing on those grapevines. And well, people did get hurt on them, but we didn't really think about it that way. We'd swing in the grapevines and climb the trees and I had a good life. I had siblings to grow up with and my memories are so rich of that. It's so valuable to me. I had such a good life growing up. And didn't know I was missing anything. I don't think it was really good. And I walk by the there's a walnut tree. I think I'm pointing the right direction. Yeah, it's back here. There's a walnut tree. And there's all walnuts all over the ground out there. And it brought my took my memory to tells my age 50 years ago when me and my youngest sister Robin would go around gathering up walnuts in the fall and carefree as we could be, getting hickory nuts and walnuts and just enjoying the life that was around us. I have to say this, I was blessed, and I thank God for my life. And I'm glad that He allowed me to experience all the life that I've been able to experience. And up to this present point, I can look and say I'm blessed to know you all. I'm blessed to have been able to find salvation. I'm blessed to be where I'm at. This scripture says that, and it is appointed unto men once to die. But it would be just the same statement to say that it was appointed unto men once to live. It would be exactly the same statement to say it, because it's true both ways. And after that, the judgment. It's appointed to men once to live. That was really the idea about it, because the idea of once dying means, it really means this. You don't get to live again. You get one time. I don't look back at my life with bitterness. I don't look back at what happened in my life. Those hard things and all that. I don't look back at it that way, and I'm glad. I look back at it as I was blessed to get to live. I was blessed to get to experience. Well, I know everyone has a unique experience, but I have a very unique experience. Growing up in West Virginia was a very unique experience. I don't know how many people in here have ever been in coal mines, but I got to do that. It was a job, but I mean, the things that was going on there that I got to experience. I don't know how many of you caught wild animals with your bare hands, but it was a occupation of mine when I was young. I liked the challenge of being able to catch a squirrel, a chipmunk, something that, a rabbit, something that was able to run and do that, and to some way cunningly be able to catch it. That was quite an exciting thing. Well, I did that. We went into the woods with our bows, and we experienced all of life. But it's gone. That only lives in my mind. And possibly my sister's. The only thing left of it is a memory. And I don't get to go do it again. You know what? I'll be honest with you. I wouldn't want to go back to be a teenager. If I could. If I could be young and know what I know, I might do it. But I wouldn't trade what I know to go back and be young again. It just wouldn't be worth it. But it wouldn't matter. I don't have the option to do it anyway. You're appointed once to live, folks. You only get one life. And you can't ever go do it over. Whatever I did is done. The memories live rich. I'm glad for everything the Lord gave me. But I can't go and do it again. And the point is that the only thing I can do anything about is whatever I've got left. That's the idea of this scripture. It's appointed unto men once to die. There's no second chance at anything. No second chances. The day that's spent this day, it's almost gone. But whatever was done today is gone forever. Whatever opportunity you may have took advantage of or missed is gone. Whatever dreams or hopes that you could have had for this day, they're all gone too. Whatever it was of this day, it's gone and it's never to be returned to. But there is something important, because there's something that's still ahead of us. It's called tomorrow. If God gives us tomorrow, it'll be a gift. But why can't tomorrow be as rich as yesterday? We have a life to live, relationships to build, closeness to get to one another. We have possibilities, people to bless, an opportunity to draw closer to the Lord than you've ever done before, have His blessings on your life, to understand more, to gain more, to do all these things. All of those things are still ahead of us if the Lord wills. We have the ability to go on from here, because it's appointed unto men once to live. You get to live once. What a great blessing. But what a great responsibility. Do I belong to myself? I didn't choose to be born to my parents. I didn't choose to be born where I was born and live where I lived and understand those things. It's a marvel to me that God did what He did for me. that my life has the contacts that it has. I marvel, Brother Ed, that I know you. The path that God created, that our paths that crossed. The fact that I'm here tonight sometimes, it marvels that I could have never known. One small decision of my life changes everything. One small place where God spoke to my heart, and if I was to have said no, it wouldn't be me here tonight. I wouldn't know you and be involved in your life. You would never get an encouragement word from me, or I get one from you. We would never have connected in any way. One small thing. It's appointed unto men once to live. I have a life to be able to follow the Lord. The Lord wants to give us, you know, the Lord's got a path for you. I don't think that you have to go down it, but the Lord's got a place, a perfect place for each and every one of us to have. And I use this expression with you all tonight, but I make it quite often to my wife. And I like to say publicly that she is my dream girl. She is so special to me. And I think about, if the Lord hadn't changed my path, I would never, you know, I just marvel that I have her. I marvel that our paths crossed. I marvel at all the little here's and there's and all the little things that happened that would only make that possible. I couldn't have done it. I couldn't have made that, but God gave us that. And I look at that and say, thank you, Lord, for blessing my life this richly. I don't think I deserve it, but I have it. As a gift of God, I have it. And you know what? It's appointed to men once to die. And after that, the judgment for everything we've done in life Now you've got to give an account for all of that that was done. And you may think it sometimes, I didn't get that right, I'd like to do it again. You better start that prayer now. Because there is no time to do it later. I had a situation years ago when I was working a job that I had a guy that I worked with that was a real challenge to me. And he would check my grace every day I worked with him. And it wasn't that I disliked him. It was just that the folly was too much. I had a job to do. And I had to get it done. And he was the one I had to do it with. And it just didn't hardly work. And he was such a challenge to me that I actually got that I was having a good day and I looked that he would be the one to be on my crew. I would just be like, no, no, no. Lord, help me today. Well, he told me one day, he said, Marty, I'm going to go to another job. And I went home that day, and I just wasn't feeling right. And I said, Lord, I know. I've never had the grace that I should have had. Will you leave him here long enough for me to know, so I can have a testimony of your grace? I'd hate for him to leave and me always say, I never had grace for that guy. Well, the Lord gave me that. It was kind of like David in the cave when he was praying that, how can I glorify you in a cave here? I've took down giants, I've done all that things, and now I'm hiding away in this cave and I want to be able to say there's victory in God. That's the way I felt. I want to be able to say God's got victory. So he left him there. And I want to testify to you something. God's got victory. God got victory, and we got close, and I got victory. And he, after he is long gone, he ended up inviting me back. And I was the only one of the bunch that went to his wedding. I went to his wedding, and for years after that, if he was in the area, he didn't live anywhere near me, but if he was anywhere in the area, he would stop by my house to see me. Thank God for victory. And when I was saying this, what I want to say is that I don't want to have to, I only get one shot. I only get one shot at many people that come into my life. I'm only going to get one opportunity to make a relationship or make an impression or to be able to give the gospel. I'm going to get one shot sometimes. I'm going to get one opportunity to be able to do that. And I don't want to mess that one up. I don't want it to be the wrong thing. Lord, help us. You're appointed. It's appointed in demand. Once to live. You get one shot at it. After the shot's over, it's done. There's another scripture. I think it's in I'll look at it. It's in Ecclesiastes. It's in the 11th chapter. 11 and 3. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. And the idea is of a life. Whichever way the tree falls, it don't fall but once. It falls one time. And wherever it falls, and the idea is that, do you know how you fall? How you leave this life? The idea is that is the way you'll be. But wait a minute, I didn't speak as kind as I wanted to there. I want to go and speak that better. No more chance for that. Wait a minute, I don't want the end of our relationship to be this squabble, this fight. This disagreement, I don't want this to be the way it ends, but this is the way it ends. A lot of times, this is the way it ends. Some of you know my mother passed away recently. And I am so thankful because I've got a memory, something in my mind. Because I know the last time I talked to her, and I can't say that the conversations were always just like this, but my last conversation was on Mother's Day. She died the next week. And on Mother's Day, I called her and talked to her for a while. We had a good conversation. And at the end of it, the last words was, "I love you, Mom." She said, "I love you too, Marty." So my last words, if I had to have wrote it down, that's what I would have chose. That is what I would have wanted to have, if I could have put it in a book beforehand. That, and it ended. I didn't know that's what was going to be. But you don't know either. You don't know either. And you know, there are some times that when you really get down to it, there's somebody that you really love, but circumstances have created problems there. And if that person was to suddenly leave this world and without that there, "I love you, Mom. I love you, Dad. I love you, brother." If that happens, you don't get to go fix it. You don't get to change that. It's appointed unto men once to get to do what we do. It's not, there's no appointment afterward. The emphasis of the scripture that I read was to emphasize this. You can't do it again. It's to emphasize it. Listen, if it's important, your life's important. How do you want to live it? Isn't it better to humble yourself? The thought was put to the believers. Is it not better to suffer wrong than to bring shame to the Lord's cause by taking your brother to law? Isn't it better to suffer the shame than to bring a reproach? Isn't it better to humble yourself in the only life that you have? Isn't it better? Isn't it better to go ahead and say, "Let's forget the differences. I love you, brother." Isn't it better to do that if by chance there was a time and space after this that I could see all the errors and say, "Okay, I can correct all this stuff," but there's not. No, as this tree falls, so shall it lie. With everything that belongs to it, it will be just that way without the opportunity or the mind. And I've seen it so many times. I've seen the sorrow and the regret that I let this go here and I didn't get it done. I never said the words that I should have said. And now this awful feeling of, was it worth it? Oh, no. Was it worth it for me to feel that way, to do that, to hold my spot? But is it really worth it? I only get to do this one time. Lord, help us. Lord, help us. What do you want with the one life that you have? Really? One life? Wouldn't it be better to have a hand that reaches up to pull somebody up? Wouldn't it be better to be able to embrace and reach up and put aside those things that don't really matter anyway? Wouldn't it be better with one life to be, as the story was of the Good Samaritan, who Jesus told the story of the man who had got beaten and robbed, who's laying half dead by the road? And along comes a man that was given for the purpose of it. A priest come by. A man that should have cared about those kind of things. And he passed by removed his responsibility, got as far away as he could and walked by on the other side of the road. Really, priest? You've only got one life. You want to walk by the man with only one life? Oh, the other day, it's not to puff me up. Sometimes life gets interesting. The other day, we had stopped on our way out west. We stopped was at a gas station, and I was putting gas in, and the rest of the family went into the bathroom, and I was putting gas in, and I noticed there was a truck sitting over there with kind of, I think it was a toolbox or something back of it, and there was a young woman sitting right up on top of that toolbox, kind of with her legs kind of folded back, and she was sitting there, and she was just, the pump, she was sitting there in that old truck, the truck was sitting there by the pump, and she just sitting up on top of that truck, just sitting there. Well, it was an odd scene, at least, to just see somebody sitting up on top of that truck. And it made me curious right off. I wonder what she's doing setting up on that truck. Well, I went to pump and went ahead and pumping the gas, and I kind of looked that way, kind of wanting her to look my way so I could at least say something. And in a little bit, I kind of walked that way and said, oh, well, hello, how are you? Well, I'm okay. And said, do you need something? Do you need help? And she said, well, I'm out of gas. And I thought, I wondered, well, I don't know how just sitting up there on top of a truck's going to get it for you. But it worked, though. It worked. Because I said, I'd be glad to get you a little gas if you need some gas. Well, I'm out of gas. We had to push the truck in here. And I said, well, we'll get you some gas. I'm not putting saying anything on me. I'm going to say this. I've been so blessed in my life. I have been so blessed by you all. I've been blessed with vehicles from the Lord, tires from the Lord that was put on my. I've been so blessed that I could hardly stand the thought of not giving the Lord a little gas. He said, if you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. So, priest, you really going to walk by? This is life. It's your only chance and your opportunity to what? Make a name for yourself? To be something? No. To make heaven? No. To put your treasure in heaven? You got one life? There is no better than helping our fellow man. Reaching out to the humanity around us. Oh, surely we can humble ourselves when people aren't doing us just right. Surely there's something more. So then I think a Levite come by. Also a man of the temple. A man that was called to those purposes, and he walks by. Really? Levite, wait a minute. I will talk to you a minute. You're going to go on the other side of the road when a fellow being is over here dying? It's your only chance to live life. The richest things in life is the relationships we build. The things that we do for one another. Richest things in life. Most meaningful things in life. I'll be honest with you. I've always appreciated that the Lord would give me a calling. And I've even been more amazed that he seemed to have made it to work. And me being who I am was even more fascinating. I remember years ago, I don't claim to have very good grammar, and years ago, there were some folks at Shawnee, and I remember preaching, and they seemed to enjoy my messages so much. They just enjoyed them. And I thought the next time I went to Shawnee sometime later, they came up to me and said, Brother Marty, we're disappointed. I said, well, what? And said, well, we used to love that accent you had. I mean, well, I thought I had some real good messages, and they was thinking that my accent was good. Well, however it gets there, but the Lord's able to do things with us, and I'm thankful for what the Lord has done. But I'll be honest with you, I've struggled a lot of my ministry with this. I thank the Lord for what he's done. I really do. I thank the Lord that he's used me and allowed me to do that. And my biggest blessings is it's not any notoriety or that I want to do this. But several years ago, we had been in Wisconsin, and a young man went and got saved. And then sometime on the next trip back, I seen him again. And he had a testimony of salvation. That was meaningful, wasn't it? Oh, that was something. To hear that testimony, to hear the salvation, to know that it made a difference. Oh, the reward. Me and Brother Ivan used to pray regularly in the tent work. Give us souls for our hire. We don't want anything. Give us souls. If we could see something. And here's a man by the side of the road in need. Don't walk by. And here was the Samaritan. And he comes by. And Jesus told the story of people that ask what it meant to love your neighbor. Who is your neighbor? Who is that one? Your fellow man. Would you, if the Lord was here, destitute, if Jesus was here hungry, what would you do to feed him? How far would you go to feed him? Jesus said, if you've done it to the least of these, my brothers, you've done it to me. He's not looking to be fed. He's looking for us to feed the least of these. Oh, Lord, help us. A number of years ago, I had got a call. I was in prayer, and I got a call from somebody up in Indiana who asked me, I can remember it well, it was 20 years ago, asked me if I would come up and do services for him. The pastor was going to be on Sunday and asked me if I'd do Sunday services. I was in prayer asking the Lord, what do you want me to do this weekend? What do you got for me? When he called. So it wasn't hard to say, brother, you caught me right at the right moment. The Lord had set it up. So I took off on a Saturday to go up there. Got up Clarksburg by where we was at. Headed on Interstate 50, or Route 50. And I was praying, Lord, I don't want to make this trip by myself. Give me a rider. Give me somebody to go with me. Because I'd pick up hitchhikers. If I saw them, that was my guy. Well, I looked out, way out the road, and I said, thank you, Jesus. I see him right there. There is the guy that's going to ride with me. And sure enough, there was a guy, and I picked him up, and he was an old Vietnam vet, and he didn't have any teeth. He didn't have any teeth. I asked him where he stayed at, and he told me it was really cold. He said he had stayed under a bridge there at Clarksburg that night. It was cold. And he got in that car and started getting warm up, and he fell asleep. And I ended up saying, are you hungry? When the last time you had something to eat? And I think he said, I don't really remember. And I said, well, how about I get you something to eat? And he said, well, that'd be good. So I got him a couple Whoppers. He had to eat them Whoppers by pinching them off and putting it in his mouth. He didn't have teeth and couldn't bite them. And he putting them in his mouth. I'm going to tell you, my heart went out to that guy. I was praying the whole time, Lord, have mercy on this man. Don't know what his situation is, but I'm blessed. I am so blessed. I'm going to tell you what really got me. I was courting my wife at the time, and a regular thing, it was her burden more than mine, but when we would pray, she would pray for the homeless people. And so we got to praying for the homeless people. And I took him over there, still know where the Travel America truck stop is. And he said, I want out here. And so I went to let him out. And when he got out of the car, I think I asked him, do you have anything to take you on, get you something with? And I think I gave him a little money and said, Lord bless you, or something like that. I don't think I said, Lord bless you, at that time. But he looked back in the car and said, continue praying for us. As he walked away. I don't know if he knew what he was saying. I don't know what that was about. But it sure touched me. Keep praying for us. That's what we're for. That's what our mission here is for. It's appointed unto men wants to live. And we have a life, and you know, you can absorb it. You can totally have your life absorbed with trying to gain this world and the comforts of the world. And you can totally absorb your life with the things of this world, just living in this world. And will that be what we end up with at the end, at the judgment, was that I had took my life that you give me, Lord, and I spent it on me to get it for me. You know, there's a statement that is saying, spending, you ever hear of spending time? Well, you spend time like you spend money. And you don't have a limitless supply of time. You don't have that much time. The Bible really does put it in perspective to us that our life is like a vapor that appeareth for a little while and vanish away. Or he likened it unto the flower, I think, or the grass of the field that comes and it flowers, it's beautiful, but it fadeth in a day or so, and it fadeth away. Our life is like grass that withereth, or a vapor that appears and just disperses and it's gone. And that's the way the Lord spoke of our lives, but we have life yet. And are we going to spend it just as the scripture says in one place that man's life doesn't consist of the abundance of the things that he possesses? This is not what life's about, that I can acquire some kind of things. And I'm sure it takes things, and I'm blessed. I'm blessed with a home. I'm blessed with a car to drive, and I'm blessed with things that I work with, and I'm blessed with the things around me. But that's not all life can be. Surely it can't be all of that. Oh, I think the Lord wants more from us. I think the health of Christianity is right here. I don't think we'll ever be healthy just looking at ourselves. I think we become healthy when we put that aside and look to the good of others. To reach out the gospel. To have a helping hand. But if we want to get right down there, I'd like to see everybody saved. But the Lord commanded us to feed the poor whether they get saved or not. He commanded us to help those that are naked and destitute and without, whether they ever come to the Lord. He still wants us to do it. Because if we do it to the least of them, our brother, we do it unto him. That he loves them and cares for them and desires to have everything good in their life. And you know, it would be really hard to... We have a little thing that Focus on the Family did. It's called the Christmas Carol. It's a little Christmas deal. You guys probably, everybody heard of Christmas Carol. It's a very famous thing. There's a little history behind that. And one of the things that was said in that really caught my attention was at the day and time that was written, there was a lot of abuse, and they would get little children and put them in factories, and people were so poor and they abused them and all of these things. And one of the things that was said in there that you could hardly think of a man to think of the betterment of his soul when he didn't even have enough to eat. That his whole attention had to be on just surviving another day. You expect him to really consider his soul? Hardly could a person consider his soul when the next thing he was going to starve to death if he didn't get a crumb. The idea was that there's got to be better than that. So therefore, feed him. Help him. Encourage him. Bring him into a better place. Our life as a Christian, I say, give me the mind of Christ. Lord, help me to think as you did. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Lord, help me to have the mind that you had, what you have in this. There's somebody, I'm going to tell you, there's somebody that you're meant to contact. There's somebody that you're meant for you to be in your world. God has that. He wants people in your life, in your world. People for you to reach out to. People for you to pray with and to have. Recently, I met some folks. I thank God for all the lessons that he's given me. And I learned a real good one recently. Lord, help me to keep it. I met some folks that's totally unlike me. And I really love them. The Lord gave me a love for them. And I really love them. And they are completely different than me in our worldview. I am more conservative and they call themselves progressively liberal people. But I love them so much and I wanted to be friends with them so much that I learned how to talk. Get me here. The Lord taught me how to talk. I can talk without being offensive. You believe that? I can talk without belittling. I was so careful that the words I spoke was caution and care. And I could say, I don't know about that. Let's think of it this way rather than say, that's a dumb idea. That's ridiculous to think that way. That, there's no logic in that at all. You see the difference? But then the greater challenge come. I was telling my son Marty this. I feel like I learned that. But do I talk to my family that way? Am I going to talk to my wife with the same carefulness? Am I going to express that out? Well, I'll be honest with you. I caught myself not. But I thank God for the lesson. Because I was amazed that I did it. Like that. With grace. And you know why I did it? I just love those people. I don't want to offend them out of my life. I don't want to give them a cause. And I think, why am I not like that with everybody? Why don't I think like that with everybody? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Yes. Lord, help me. Help me to talk the right words, to express the right way. Do that. It's a challenge. The tongue's always a challenge. But we're appointed only one time. Only one time to make a difference. And what if it works and salvation is the end result? What if stopping beside the road means another soul saved? What if a reaching out just with a kind word? I'm amazed at how people respond. When I got the girl the gas, she said, God bless you. Well, I know she's seen my family. And I think it registered religion to her, but that's okay. Her response back was, God bless you. I don't know where that might go, but I'll say this. It'd be a better world if people would know there's somebody out there that'll rescue you if you need rescued. Wouldn't it be good if everybody could reach out like, wouldn't it be a better place? Well, you can't, gotta stop somewhere. I can't make the whole world do anything, but I make my world different. I make my life different if I have a care and a concern, and I've only got one shot to do it. And if my desire is to go to heaven, I want to go to heaven. I want the end of my days to be pleasing to the Lord. And I want Him to say, well done. Well done. You've done it right. Yes. I got one shot for it. Almost without a doubt, I'll never see the girl sit on the truck again. I don't even know what state I was in. I don't get to live it again. I lived it once. There'll be another day if the Lord tarries and gives me life. There'll be another opportunity somewhere along the line. There'll be another place. I can either ride by or I can stop. And I say, Lord, you've been so good to me. You filled my tank up more times than I can ever give credit. Over and over. My tank would get filled up mysteriously sometimes. Somebody would just fill it up for me. Sometimes somebody come along and say, hey, your tires are awful bare. I'll put some tires on. Oh, no, put tires on. Well, bless the Lord, got a little Lord's money. Well, it's humbling. Thank you, Jesus. You take care of it this side, and I can go and reach out to those that are around. I want to look at one more scripture. I want to tie it in. It's a scripture in Ephesians. Oh, let's see, Ephesians 5, I think. No, I'm not sure. Might have to help me get this one. 5 and 16. I'll back up just a little. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest. 14th verse. That sleepeth and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. What do you think the will of the Lord is? Redeeming the time, for the day is evil. You can't really ever get time back. What this scripture is really saying is, if I got 20 minutes to get somewhere, and I fool around 10 of it, I'm going to have to pick up the pace to be on time. I'm going to have to be diligent. I'm going to have to be more precise, more focused. Not allow things to sidetrack me. Not allow myself to get off on a tangent somewhere or somewhere off to the side. I'm going to have to be precise here now, redeeming the time, picking up the pace, getting it better. Don't allow yourself to be caught at the end saying, I wish I had. Don't allow yourself to get to the end and say, when death has come, I wish I'd have said something to them. Or don't allow yourself to be caught in death yourself and not have taken care of it. But redeeming the time, because the day is evil. There is so much out there today to tempt us away. There is so much in an evil day to get us to thinking about ourselves, to get us going with the things. And oh, there's so many fine toys out there to play with. There's so much to entertain ourselves with and get us aside. What is the will of the Lord concerning us for this day and time? To be about the Father's business, redeeming the time. Is it our right to ask the Lord for the opportunities? Well, I'm available. If the opportunity comes, is it our right to ask the Lord for the opportunities? Well, sure. We sure is. I'm seeing movement among us as a church. I'm seeing people. It's happening at home. It's happening at other places. I'm seeing people that's coming. Oh, it's exciting to see them coming. It's exciting to see people that's never heard. And oh, I'm going to tell you, we have gotten so used to the Lord's blessings on us that we hardly even acknowledge it. We hardly even realize it. But I want to tell you, people that come notice it. People that come know the difference. I don't think this brother would mind me saying it, so I'm going to tell it. And if he may listen to this too, but I'm going to tell what he said. He told me, he said, every time I come to your all service, it's like heaven just opens up. He said, I can feel the Spirit of God so strong in these services, your all service. He said, he told me one day, he said, Brother Marty, I've never heard singing like you all sing. I said, thank you, brother. I forgot.
See, I said that too 30 years ago, 20 years ago, but I haven't said it in a while. And he reminded me, and I told him, thank you. Thank you for reminding me of that. Thank you for reminding me that the Lord's talking with us and helping us. Folks, we're blessed. What are we going to do with it? I don't think that we should just close it up. I don't think that a life should be put under a bushel. We have one life to live. One life. I want to challenge you young people here. You've probably, unless the Lord wraps this up, you've probably got more life than I have. Spend it well. Spend it without regret. Spend it for the Lord. And you'll find great riches in your life. And the Lord will use you. And possibly like he has me I caught a miracle. That I may be able to do it. The Lord will use you. And you won't have to wonder about it. The Lord will use you and you'll know. You'll know that the gift's there. You'll know the blessing's there. Because it'll witness to you. You'll know it's right. Spend it. Spend your life well. Because it's the only one you get. And you'll never get it to do it again. And if you're here today and you're in a struggle as a young person, I'm going to tell you something. There is a multitude of young people out there that are going to go down the path, an awful path of drugs, an awful path of destruction, that never have the opportunity to know and to experience what you've experienced. Live it well. You pray for me.